what's up?
Dude, just watching the dating game.
Right on. Hey, dude, guess what tonight?
What?
Pool party, my house.
Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one LGBT podcast in all of Uganda. I'm your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Jason Razorbabes Frizzbabe with his new theme music. How you doing, Mr. Frisbee?
I'm doing okay. I enjoy Queen. What's the occasion for the new theme music?
Man, I don't know. You know, you're just doing a good job, you know?
Okay.
You know how it is. I just wanted.
Is that sincere or sarcastic?
No, I'm being sincere. And I don't know, we've been playing this song a lot lately. I just wanted to keep going with that, too. You know, it's just for fun.
Because of being champions?
Yeah, you're the champion of the podcasts. Anyway, how you doing?
Okay. Doing okay, how are you?
Doing all right. You don't like your theme music?
It's so unexpected. I don't know what to make of it.
I thought you would like it better. It's got English people in the band.
Yeah, Freddie Mercury's great.
Well, all right. Well, the search continues then. I see I hate this theme music. We're going back to Seal, I guess.
Also British? I can't remember if he's British or not.
I think he's British. Okay. Maybe he's not British.
Hey, speaking of British, I was watching some of that Blackadder. At the mention by Lee Arnold of the Tasty Pop Carts podcast.
I don't know what the Blackadder is.
It's a British show. It's got Mr. Bean in it. You'd love it.
Yeah, that sounds great. So
Rowan Atkinson, yeah. He plays a lord-in-waiting sort of character. And he messes up all the time. He just fucks up. But he talks during it, so he says, like, mean stuff to other people who are dumber than he is.
I should have just played Queen again, actually.
Yeah, I was going to say, I mean, if it's going to be, if it's going to be, like, a theme with theme music, it's going to be kind of disconcerting to be playing Kid Rock when I didn't get introduced by Kid Rock. To have Freddie Mercury introduce me and then no Queen after that, it's kind of, I don't know.
Well, I feel.
Well, there it is.
All right. But you can email us, by the way, by going to poolpartyradio@gmail.com. And then we'll read that email. Unless
like this one from Greg. It's titled Putting My Finger in the Air so Frisbee Can See Where I'm At. I see you. Greg says, hey, guys. Why do all villains across the board seem to have British accents? I watched the Avengers last night with my girlfriend, and the outer space guy sounds like he's some salt penis from Doncaster. What gifts?
Well, that's because the British are the villains of humanity.
Or just America. He's got a point that most American cinema will cast British folks for their British accent just to be the villain.
Yeah, that's because they're the villains of humanity.
Hardly. Yeah,
I was actually reading something about how Britain and England have they've invaded or occupied like every single country on Earth except for like six. So don't tell me who the villains of humanity are. It's England. Also, that shitty food.
Right, I agree with the shitty food. That makes more sense to me than occupying.
They've occupied every country. The Nazis didn't occupy every country. They occupied like half the country. The Mongols, Alexander the Great, not nearly as many countries taken over as the British. They're villains.
See, that's interesting to me, though. I know it's more recent for the British and having occupied so many, but still, it's almost as I'm trying to think of examples where British were cast as Nazis or as Greeks. I can't think of it.
What do you mean? Just, you don't think?
Well, I was. Oh, okay.
You don't think the British are Nazi Greeks?
No, I was trying to think of wherein, like, British people were playing villains. I mean, in Mel Gibson's films, they're British anyway. You know, like in Braveheart, it's the British Crown. Sorry, I know I'm talking loud. Jesus.
Well, yeah, the British, they're villains. And, well, you know, I think that mostly in the Avengers, Loki had to be British because he came from that Thor movie, which was directed by Kenneth Branagh, and he's all dopey for Shakespeare and people who can speak British. People, like, he wrote a lot of the dialogue in that movie, or whoever wrote it, to sound, like, kind of Shakespearean and stuff, and I was going to say you can't get a guy like Keanu Reeves to do Shakespeare, but he was in a Shakespeare movie, so maybe that's a bad analogy. You can't get Robert Pattinson to do Shakespeare. You got to get somebody with a real chintzy British accent. That's the only way the iambic pentameter sounds good, is if you sound like a guy who has oppressed the entire world at one point or another. Are you sad now, Mr. Frisbee, about these British, in light of these new facts?
I'm racking my brain to think of variants on this theme, like people who are villains who aren't British and if they're memorable or not. Right now I'm just coming up with the most recent Die Hard villain. Not from the new movie that's coming out soon, but the guy who played Hitman in the Hitman movies.
Oh, Oliphant. Timothy Elephant.
Timothy Elephant. Yeah, that's the one.
He's great.
But extremely passing as a diehard villain. Previous diehard villains, well, there was that American General, but nobody really remembers him from Die Hard 2. They remember the first one.
What was he, like British?
He was supposed to be German, but he was it was the guy who played Snape. I can't remember his name now.
He's just Snape. That guy. That's just his name for now on.
Just Snape.
Yeah, well, the Germans are, they're a villainous people of the world as well.
So charismatic, though. I mean, that's why they're memorable in these films. Like, it was Snape and then Jeremy Irons in the third one.
Also British.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, I remember those two, but the Die Hard 2 guys, you know, he's distracting. He's this weird American dude who does karate in the nude while watching TV.
Yeah.
That's the first thing you see in that film. I know we talked about this before, but still, it's distressing.
Well, it's important, to note that Die Hard is really a metaphor for how the British have occupied the skyscrapers of the world and oppressed the young upstart John McClanes of the world.
It's interesting that you say that. Not only is it a lie, because they're supposed to be German, but it's interesting because you could play that on, like, the Nazi German theme.
No, it's about how British people are evil. Die Hard 2, John McClane represents Gandhi. He's like a Gandhi type of a figure, you know? The bald head and everything.
Right, yeah.
And that whole movie is about the time that, the British were occupying India and everything. They wanted to take that tea, you know, and everything like that. So, yeah, it was all about, what was the bad guy? What did he want in Die Hard 2? I've never seen it.
He wants the gold that's trapped in the safe.
Yeah, gold is a metaphor for tea. And the safe is a metaphor for a hunger strike. Because, you see, when you're on a hunger strike, there's nothing inside your tummy, you know? And so that's what this bad guy wants. He wants to get into the safe, a.k.a. the tummy, and take out the gold, a.k.a. the food. That way the safe will be starving, much like how Gandhi, a.k.a. John McClane, is starving in the film.
You're 30 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
You still say tummy.
Of course I say tummy. What else am I going to say? Stomach? Saying stomach makes me think of a cow because they have four stomachs.
That's a weird diversion in logic. It's like, better not think of stomach, because I'm going to think of cows.
Yeah, that's gross. That's I don't want humans and cows to be similar at all, unless it's Cowboy from Freaked. But anyway, I see how you're trying to change the subject from my beautiful... my flawless examination of the subtext going on in Die Hard.
Who are the Japanese owners then? Because it's a Japanese company. The film was made in the '80s when it was there's this overwhelming interest in the Japanese influx of business. So it's a Japanese building, it's like the Tamaharo building or something like that. And they're there in the film. I don't know, it's been a while. I'll be watching it again this Christmas. But I'm pretty sure there's some Japanese people in the film.
Yeah.
I may be totally wrong. Are there? I can't remember.
I don't know.
Okay. Well, a better example. The guy who tries to sell everyone out, the guy with the beard and the mustache doing coke in the bathroom, he's trying to hit on John McClane's wife.
Mm-hmm.
Who's that guy?
That guy represents Colombia because of the cocaine, you see. And while the movie is basically a condemnation of Britain's foreign policy throughout history, there's also some subtle jabs in there about American foreign policy, namely our intervention in the 80s, you know, of Latin America, Central America and stuff. And that that Colombian guy with his cocaine is there to represent that. Because he wants John McClane's women, you see. And that's, if you remember back to Ronald Reagan's tremendous 1983 speech, I believe it happened in March of 1983, he said that we had to, we had to get all the Contras, you know, and get them together and do something in Central America, because the Central American people want our women. And that's why we went to war with Belize. In 1985.
That makes sense.
You remember that. You remember the Great Belize War.
How many people were so excited when they heard that there was going to be a Contra War, and they all thought they were just going to get the spread shotgun in the very beginning?
I know. I remember being like a tiny little kid in the 80s and like watching I think there was a Gallagher bit about Contras or like some stand-up comedian. And he was going on and on about how we were at war with Contras. And I seriously thought that it was like the game, and we were at war with aliens in Central America, because that's what that game was about.
Exactly. Yeah. The reason we went into war is because we all found out the 99 Lives cheat code. So it was a flawless victory, so it would seem.
Yeah. Well, the 99 Lives cheat code is also a subtle jab at American foreign policy.
What?
Mm-hmm. That's true.
The video game. We're not talking about Die Hard anymore, but How is that a subtle jab at American policy?
The game,
foreign policy.
The Konami game Contra is deeply satirical, Mr. Frisbee. Go back and play it. The spreads gun represents the fact that America spread itself way too thin. and the laser gun, of course, represents lasers and how sweet they were at the time.
The Star Wars program.
Yep.
I like it better. It's just lasers are sweet at this time.
Yeah, everybody loved lasers in the 80s.
And the flame gun just represents how much flame guns sucked. Terrible range.
That was the worst gun.
It was terrible. Yeah.
You had to basically be standing on a guy for it to work.
Yeah. If there was a punch button, you'd be better off using the punch button. It's terrible.
Yeah, so to answer your question, that's why British people are villains in movies.
Yeah, and thanks again to Greg for sending in that email. You can find Greg doing his thing at hidethebodies.com.
It's Hide the Bodies, their screen printing business. He works there. He does a lot of stuff there, and you can find it at htbkicksass.com. They got shirts for you. They got stickers. Whatever you need. You need some shirts made? Go to those guys. Because they're sweet.
Mm-hmm. If you listen to that Logical Contraption show, they've got shirts of this. So check them out.
Yeah, they got
what they got.
I think I might get one of those Logical Contraption shirts.
Yeah?
Maybe. I think I'm going to order an extra small and let Kepi wear it around the house.
This sounds adorable. The one with the Seinfeld faces on it?
Yeah. Kepi loves Seinfeld.
Who doesn't? It's America's show.
That's true. And he also loves black metal. Little cat.
Yeah. Which is also on the shirt.
Yeah.
So if you like Seinfeld and black metal, go to htbkicksass.com.
Yeah. I think you can buy that shirt from their Etsy store. Don't know what Etsy is, but I saw it on Facebook that's where you can buy that shirt. Do you know about Etsy? You seem like the kind of guy that you don't know about it.
I don't know about Etsy.
I figured you were
suspect of this now.
Yeah, you. Well, you know, you like Reddit a great deal, so I figured you would like Etsy. It seems like kind of the same thing to me. Like the people who like Reddit would like Etsy.
Never heard of it, actually. I have no idea what it is. I'm assuming it's some sort of trading post sort of thing.
Yeah, you can get on there and you can sell.
You can ride your camel there.
Yeah, you can sell your coon.
Or donkey or whatever.
Yeah, and sell your coon skins. One, two,
three, four! Are you tired of movie podcasts where everyone is talking like an asshole about stupid shit like The Godfather and The Shawshank Redemption? Then you need to hit yourself a Junk Food Dinner, a podcast where we value laser guns and Dean Cameron more than acting ability or feasible plots. We love any cheesy old cult stuff you got. The more rubber monster suits chasing bikini beach girls, the better. And we're not assholes. Check us out at www.junkfooddinner.com or search iTunes.
Well, I wanted to talk about something here, Mr. Frisbee.
Okay.
You know, with this election and everything.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people talking about abortions out there, Mr. Frisbee. I'm sure you've heard about it. You've heard of abortion before in your life.
Yeah, I have.
You know, everybody talks about, abortion, it should be illegal. And other people say, oh, you know, it's a woman's right to choose and everything like this. Well, I was thinking the other night, pondering on abortion, you know, I was like, how am I going to solve this problem? You know, how am I going to fix this for everybody? And I came up with a pretty good idea on how we can solve this abortion conflict. I say, Mr. Frisbee, that instead of having a woman's right to choose, we have a Frisbee's right to choose. And as such, like if a lady is thinking about having an abortion, she'll consult with you, you know, and then she'll tell you about her life and her finances, you know, her religious background, her moral character. You know, anything you feel like would be a qualifying factor. And then you get to decide if she gets to have an abortion or not. You and you alone. Or maybe you and your brother, as it's a Frisbee's right to choose. He's also named Frisbee. Your dad can help out in the decision making, too.
Just the men of the family?
Yeah. Well, I guess anybody. I guess if somebody marries into the Frisbee family, they would also have a say in it. But not as big as your say. You're the final deciding factor on this. You're the head of the Frisbee board.
Okay, so just off the top, why did you come to this conclusion? How did you come to this conclusion?
Well, you know, because I think you're a pretty level-headed dude. I think you could, I think with all this fighting that's going on, if people just put their faith in you, then, also I think that the phrase, a Frisbee's right to choose, is kind of catchy and cool. And I think you could really help a lot of people, don't you?
I'm not against to helping people. I would hardly say that I'm level-headed at this point. Basically because I've been doing this show for 80 episodes with you and have not found it in me to stop doing the show. I think anybody who's been level-headed would have probably quit long ago, but I'm still here for some reason. So I'm pretty sure that certifies me as not level-headed. Secondly, I don't want to bear this responsibility of telling people about abortions, whether they can get them or not.
Well, what do you want them to do? Go to some back alley place and let some guy who isn't named Frisbee put a coat hanger in them? Come on, you're dooming these people.
But see, right there, you're implying that the opposite is for them to not go to a back alley and to not get a coat hanger stuck in them by some guy who's not named Frisbee. Or rather, yeah, X one of those knots out of that last part. So the other option would be to come to me to get that done.
And well, you're not going to perform the abortion. You're just going to decide if they can have one or not.
But I feel like that's what you're implying, though.
Well, I mean,
were you implying this is like my responsibility? You are making this my responsibility.
Yeah. Well, all right. Like, did you ever read that that book, The Giver, in high school or middle school or whatever?
Yeah, I did. Was that the one with the feelings in it?
Yeah, like the one where, like, you know, in the world, like, everybody, like, nobody had feelings or something. Like, everybody was always happy, but there was one guy who was burdened with, like, all the bad feelings of the world.
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't have anything to do with this, I guess. I just read that it was being turned into a movie.
Are you... very quick, just about that. I've been thinking about this book a great deal lately. Like, I ran in, I saw it on display at a bookstore recently. I guess it's coming back for student reading programs or whatever. And I remember parts of that. And there was the stirring. That's what it was. He gets a stirring, and it's kind of taken as this metaphor for puberty or something. It's not only that he gets to feel everything, but he gets to see all the colors, taste all the tastes, hear all the sounds to what is typically like a neutral, bland world. But I cannot remember enjoying that book at all. So I keep seeing it. I'm like, God, Giver. I'm not going to read it again, but I just don't remember having a good time with it. Anyway.
Yeah, well,
they're making that a movie.
Yeah, now. Well, anyway, well, yeah, but you're going to be like the giver of abortions. Like, the responsibility rests solely on you to do this, and you have to deal with all the pain that goes along with giving abortions, and all the joy that goes along with giving abortions, and all the smells and tastes as well.
That is horrible. I doubt there's anything to taste in giving an abortion. I don't want to know if there is, but you said I'm going to be the giver of abortions.
Yeah.
Even that phrasing, like, you don't see it, do you? You don't see how that's weird or awkward.
I think you're more than qualified for the position.
I really doubt it. I think, if anything, Kepi could be more qualified.
Well, all right, what would be better then? What would be better? If they come to you for this abortion, or, you know, if, like I said, they go to, like, some back alley dirty place in Nicaragua to get their abortions, like it's the 70s or the 60s or whatever.
Nicaragua is a really far place to go to get anything done.
That's like, how they used to do it in the 60s.
From the States, not just Mexico or anything?
No, from the States. They used to go to Nicaragua.
Where'd you read this? Where was this from?
What? Where? When it was illegal, where else would you go? You'd either go to the back alley or you would go to Nicaragua.
I would assume Mexico, because it's closer.
Nah, well, Mexico, you don't want to get abortion in Mexico. Come on. They're doing crazy stuff there. They got donkey shows there. I don't know. I think you're really passing by a great opportunity.
Oh, me too. Most definitely. I think I'm definitely passing by this opportunity. I would just assume that, like, you know, Planned Parenthood, wouldn't that be a place to go?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, you would go to Planned Parenthood to get the abortion, but you would have to go to you.
Well, to get counseling about it and then to find out a place to do it.
Well, yeah, you can get counseling there, too, but when it comes down to brass tacks, it's a Frisbee's right to choose.
I don't think it is.
I think this would be ideal. I really think this would put to rest this debate. I think it would make both sides very happy, you know?
You think it put – the only way to put this – debate to rest is for me to agree entirely with what you're suggesting.
Yeah, I think, I think it would make everybody, it's a great compromise. People who are pro-choice would be into this because they trust you. And people who are pro-life would be into this because they trust you. I mean, let's think outside the box here. If abortion doesn't come down to a Frisbee's right to choose, what would be a better method, do you think, to deal with abortion in this country?
Oh, geez. To leave it up to the individual, I suppose?
Yeah, the individual Frisbee.
No, just the individual period.
Well, girls who need abortions aren't having their periods anymore, Frisbee.
Zing! Nailed it. Knocked out of the park.
That is a great joke.
So, well, maybe you're not the right guy. If you didn't even know that stuff about about the periods, maybe you're not the guy.
I didn't know about Nicaragua, and obviously my history on the matter is completely defunct.
Yeah, have you never been to a Nicaraguan baseball game? Their team mascot is an abortion.
Man, I've never even been to Mexico, honestly. I've not been... I've traveled a lot of places, but I've never been to Mexico or South America.
Me neither, yet. But I think I'm going to go soon.
That's very exciting.
I know.
But yeah, I'm going to have to pass on this. someone more qualified. So I do apologize. I do not get to use your catchphrase.
A Frisbee's right. I made like so many buttons. I got stickers coming. Stickers are coming. They're being made by Hide the Bodies. They're coming. The shirts are coming. A Frisbee's right to choose. It's got you. You know, it's got a big picture of you wearing your Shelby Cobra shirt. Coming out of the water.
Okay.
And you're holding in your arms a blanket, and inside the blanket is the old cat.
That's precious. Yeah. I actually like that.
See? You thought I was going to say an abortion.
No, I didn't. I didn't think you were going to put an abortive fetus on it.
All right,
you're classier than that. You're going to put old cat on it or something that you know I'll like.
Yeah, the old
cat. Maybe there's another use for those, like a Frisbee's right to choose, and it could be like a, I don't know, Cold Stone Creamery, like a Frisbee's right to choose toppings.
No, that's too important of a decision. That should be left up to the individual person buying ice cream. What are you, some kind of fascist? You want to go around choosing people's ice cream flavors?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't get to enjoy ice cream all that much, so the toppings are really all that I get to enjoy.
Nah, that's way too big.
It'd be part of that decision-making process.
Listen, we're very good friends, and I don't want to insult you, but I do not trust you to choose my toppings for me, and I don't trust you to choose the toppings of all of 51% of the population out there that is female.
Listen.
How are you going to know what's best for a female when it comes to toppings?
Coconut shavings and gummy bears.
Oh, my God. Nobody
wants. How does that suit you?
That sounds gross.
How does that sound? Does that sound pretty good?
Sounds terrible. You're not qualified for that job.
Crumbled up nutty buddies?
No, you're not even fat. You need a fat guy to choose that job. The only person I'm going to trust when it comes to picking toppings for me is like a huge fat guy. Harry Knowles of AintItCoolNews.com. I trust him to pick out toppings. I'm not trusting you with your fit body and your slim torso. You look like you burn way too many calories. your nice physique's doing nothing for me, Frisbee.
Beautiful. Beautiful physique. Low sodium benzoate, rainbow sprinkles, and Teddy Grahams. It's a stellar company.
So, yeah, well, all right. So if you're not the guy to, you know, if it's not going to be a Frisbee's right to choose, who would you suggest do this job instead?
Well, if there has to be someone. There doesn't have to be anyone, but if you're insinuating that there has to be someone, I would assume it would be a female physician.
That sounds a little sexist. Come on, what are you? You're a bigot.
How is it sexist? I'm trying. Maybe this has to go. Like, if we're going to enforce this sort of thing. Because this isn't my decision. I had no right. This isn't my choice. Even though you're calling the campaign Frisbee's right to choose.
Well, that's why this is a lot like The Giver. That kid, he didn't want those powers. He didn't want to be burdened with that responsibility. With great power comes great responsibility, Frisbee. That's why you're the man for the job.
Well, I do like Spider-Man. That's a dead-on Spider-Man quote if I've ever heard one.
You like Spider-Man. As we've already talked about, you've got, really nice muscle tone. And a really nice shape. Your biceps are looking good.
Thank you.
So, I mean, I think that qualifies you, your good biceps.
Who's got the largest arms in the world, brother?
It's Frisbee. It's absolutely Frisbee.
I didn't know that was part of the deciding process. Like, you have to have a good physique to do this sort of thing.
Well, I think it helps. You know, it certainly helps with this Frisbee's right to choose issue a lot more than it helps with the picking out ice cream flavors.
It's just, I would have more to say on that, I think. This one, I don't. I mean, I've always been for women's rights. I'm not about to take that away from them by assuming that I have some sort of young adult fiction superpower.
Okay.
Besides what's going on with their bodies and their choice.
Okay, all right. We'll say that I come in to your ice cream place.
Sure.
I get a nice, I get a vanilla cup.
So, looking good.
All right.
Nice little cup.
Now I'm asking you what toppings I should put on it. What are you going to tell me?
All right. First, you got to go with like a chunky strawberry syrup.
Oh, my God.
Hold on. When you add on just a little bit of those kind of large, obtuse Hershey's cookies and cream M&M looking things, you put that on too.
I don't want to put with strawberry.
Peanut butter chips. Peanut butter chips. Not like the chocolate chips, but you want the peanut butter chips instead.
Peanut butter and strawberry. You think that's going to go together?
Yeah. I mean, hold on.
Who do
I'm
you
still working on this.
No, that's enough toppings. Who do you think
blueberries?
You are?
Blueberries?
No. What kind of narcissist do you think you are that you can go around picking people's ice cream toppings? I mean, for God's sake.
What gives you the right to be part of this?
I just want to be part of something.
Now,
I can't eat ice cream anymore, so I want to be part of it.
Now, we've already ascertained that you're terrible at picking out ice cream flavors for me. I'm a big fat guy. I'm not going to want strawberries on my ice cream. Come on. Good God. All right, so now I come in, and I say, hey, Frisbee. You know, I need an abortion, you know? I knocked up this broad. I need an abortion. I need an abortion. What do you think I should do? What's your opinion on this? Can I get the abortion or no?
First, take some gummy bears and then put a little bit of chocolate syrup on those gummy bears. I think the answer will come. I'm getting too focused on toppings now to the point where I think it's becoming almost this bizarre sort of voodoo ceremony, like throwing chicken bones and seeing where they land. Like that's going to decide it. Randomly picking toppings is now trying to factor into this somehow.
Well,
I really have no idea.
I like that. I like that. I mean, really, if ever there's a time for like an ice cream cone, it's when you're deciding whether or not to have an abortion. So I like this. I'm pretty on board with this. Already you're showing good judgment. But I need a definitive answer here just to test out your mettle. You know, would you allow me to have the abortion or would you turn me away?
Oh, Parker, if it was you, I would allow you, of course.
What is that insult? You're trying to insult me? You don't want my genes to be passed on?
No. It's like you couldn't get an abortion, so I just humor you anyway.
Well, I like that idea because I really wanted the abortion, so I think you're really qualified for the job. I don't see, you know, I don't know. I don't see a better way to do this.
Those buttons and t-shirts now? Or?
I'm giving out the buttons. Email us at poolpartyradio@gmail.com if you want one of these buttons. A Frisbee's right to choose. Actually, I might actually make these buttons now. I really like this idea. I think that in 2016, this is going to be a big issue in America. A Frisbee's right to choose.
2016?
Yep. That's when we're voting on it.
A Frisbee's right to choose?
Yeah. You're still not into it, even after you made the right decision just now?
Well, you're making a lot of huge promises here. First, I mean promise that I have a fictional power that is imbued to me to make these sort of decisions. And now you're saying that people have to vote on it just to make sure it goes through.
Well, I was lying. Nobody's going to vote on it. It's just that you're right. You're absolutely right. We're not going to let people vote on this. I think that it's just going to be implemented because you have those powers. You have the powers. We're not going to wait until 2016. At all. We can do it just as soon as possible.
How soon can you start?
How soon can you start, Frisbee? When would you like to start doing this?
Oh, never. I would never like to start this.
You think that the system we have in place now is better than my proposed system of Frisbee's right to choose?
I think it's getting somewhere. I don't think I need to come in and be like, hey, let me overhaul everything because I'm just one guy. And I'd have no interest in this at all. Like, I would not want to be part of this.
Well, I mean, come on. You think Spider-Man wakes up every day and he wants to be Spider-Man? No, he wants to sit around and do photography and science and make out with Mary Jane. But, you know, Rhino's tearing up Midtown and somebody's got to stop him. All right? So, come on.
That's
come
a compelling
on.
Argument. Yeah.
All right. So
it's practically the same thing.
I know. All right. So maybe this is an easy decision for you since Obama was elected. Now, Mitt Romney. Say Mitt Romney's elected. He comes in. And he tears down all the abortion walls. Nobody's allowed to get an abortion anymore. Unless, of course, Frisbee will implement a Frisbee's right to choose. What do you think would be better? That system of illegal abortions or your system of Frisbee's right to choose?
It's an awful lot to just put on one person. Like, why isn't this... I mean, what if you were given this? If you're saying that this is a given property, like the giver.
Mm-hmm.
What about in your case, what would you do?
Yeah, of course I would take the job. Come on. That's silly. It's great. It's a great power and it's a great responsibility. And I'm not going to let Rhino run amok in Midtown. If I can abort a Rhino before that happens, if I can abort the Green Goblin lizard, I'll do it. Because in the long run, I think that would be best.
Is Romney Rhino in this example?
No, Romney is the unwanted children of the world.
All of them?
Every single... Well, he's a big guy.
I guess.
That's who he is in this metaphor. Also in this metaphor, he represents British imperialism quite a bit. How about this? I understand that maybe you don't want to choose for American abortions. That's a lot to handle. What about British abortions? Would you just see that any differently?
No. No, no, no.
I see that.
I have less to say about that. Not to say I don't have... as little to say with American abortions or any abortions, but God, no. No.
Knowing full well that I hate British people, you wouldn't step in and implement a Frisbee's right to choose in England and advise everybody to have abortions in English. That way there's less English people for me to deal with. You wouldn't do me that favor.
Oh, no, definitely not. I just talked about how much I like British television at the start of the show.
Well, that's all made by old British people. The young British people aren't making good television.
Ugh.
I saw this TV program with Kat Dealey the other day. It was absolutely the worst thing I've ever seen in my life. I'm going to post it on your Facebook wall. It's the least funny thing I've ever seen.
I am not aware of this. Kat Dealey?
Yeah, she was on some show. I'll send you the link. But, all right, well, what country would you like me to implement a Parker's right to choose and get rid of all... your enemies? Like, what country do you have the most enemies that you would like to see an increased abortion rate in?
I doubt I'm that. What's what I'm looking for? I doubt I'm that xenophobic to the point where I'd want to force you to cause abortions.
You wouldn't,
is that what it's coming to?
You wouldn't
you're
be forcing
abortions.
You wouldn't be forcing me. I'd be doing it out of respect and adoration for you.
If you had any, well, that's the thing. Like, I wouldn't. No one I know who respects me would be promoting genocide in my name.
I'm not promoting genocide. It's the people who would want the abortions. That's, I mean, you know, I'm not forcing it on anybody.
Oh,
that's,
I see.
That's what falls in line with the Frisbee's right to choose. I mean, you're not taking on any extra powers. I mean, maybe your mind goes to the totalitarianism of the issue, and you just want to give everybody abortions. But that's not how this is supposed to work. Maybe, you know, you're right. If you're saying that implementing a Frisbee's right to choose is tantamount to genocide, then maybe you're not ready. Maybe you're not mature enough for this power and responsibility, Mr. Frisbee. I didn't know that implementing a Frisbee's right to choose would go straight to your head. That power, all that power went straight to your head. And the first thing you thought of was genocide. I can't believe this, Frisbee. I thought you were different.
So is it going to be a Parker's right to choose now?
No, I'm going to get Jeremy Morrison on the line, see if he wants the right to choose.
And now, it's time for the lightning round.
First stop in the lightning round, city council asks LA residents to go meatless on Mondays. One day each week, the Los Angeles City Council wants residents to go vegetarian. Now, you don't live in LA. So this doesn't directly affect you, right?
That's correct.
But it could spread. It could spread to your town next, Parker.
That's true. It could spread to all of our towns.
What did you eat on Monday?
I don't remember. Tacos, probably? I eat tacos pretty much every day, so I guess it probably would have been tacos.
Meatless tacos, wave of the future.
Nothing could be worse than meatless tacos.
You're probably right. You know that Thomas Aquinas, a religious philosopher from way back when, he considered fish to be pretty much the same thing as vegetables.
Well, that's because he's a very smart dude. That's very apt.
He said they do not give vigor or vitamins in the same way that meat does, like other meat, even though it's still meat.
They're also tremendously ugly, way uglier than plants, and they're probably stupider than plants. I would much rather eat a fish than a plant, morally and ethically. Because fish are the worst. Anything that, I think I might have said this before, but anything that, like any animal, that you don't know what kind of animal it is, like immediately, you should be able to eat and kill just at your leisure. Which is to say, if I were to show you, I don't know the name of some kind of obscure fish, but just some fish. Like if we were to go into the ocean and I just plucked out a single fish, you'd probably not be able to tell me what kind of fish that was. Nobody would be able to tell me what kind of fish that was. That means it's okay to eat, I think. Same with birds.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, you see a bird, you'll go outside. And like, I mean, maybe you know what an eagle is. Maybe you know what a crow is. Most other birds, you don't know what they are, so they're okay to eat. But whereas, if you look at a dog, you could probably tell me what kind of dog that is, so not okay to eat. That's how I feel.
So, like, if you see a black Angus steer or something, you wouldn't eat that steer?
Well, no, I wouldn't know what made it black Angus. Like, I wouldn't know the difference between a normal cow, a dairy cow, a bull. I don't know. Despite the fact that I see, like, 100 cows a day, I've steered myself, pun intended, I've steered myself away from that knowledge. That way, I can still eat the cows.
Okay, so a 4-H kid comes to your house because California is full of 4-H kids.
It is.
And he has this promotional material, and he forces you, before you can turn away or close the door on him, and he's like that salesman who tried to sell you tickets so he could a newspaper subscription so he could go to Six Flags for the first time ever, even though he's lived in California his entire life, probably.
Mm-hmm.
So he tells you, hey, here's the difference between a black Angus steer and every other cow in the world. So if you see it, you'll know what it is because I want you to eat healthy and all this. And you're like, no, I don't want to know. But you see it anyway. And it's burned to your mind. You can't even do like an eternal sunshine of spotless mind on yourself.
Then what I would do is I would go, oh, kid, come on in my house. That way you can teach me more about this. I'll go grab us some hot cocoa, and then I'll grab the sharpest knife in the drawer, and then I'll come back and I'll slide it in between his ribs until he expires, you know. And then I'll go out into my backyard, and then I'll bury the body. You know, nobody would ever know that he was there, and I'll keep on living my life, full of nice, good hamburgers that are medium rare.
Oh, see, I'm assuming those hamburgers would be made eventually from that kid's body. Because you wouldn't know what kind of kid that was.
Yeah.
Outside of being like a 4-H kid. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know where this kid was from.
Yeah. I didn't know what town he was from. He could have been Polish. He could have been Austrian. I don't know. For sure. So, yeah, I could eat that kid.
Right on.
Which is why I specifically don't check his wallet. Because it would probably tell me that he was young. His name was young Sven Jorgensen of Sweden. And then I couldn't eat him.
Yeah, if you want Swedish food, you go to IKEA for disgusting Swedish food.
That's true, but good desks for your dorm room. What do you think about this, though? Do you like the idea of people telling you when you're allowed to eat meat?
When I'm allowed to eat meat? It's a weird prospect. Yeah, I'd be turned off by it.
Yeah, I hear that. I think it's a weird thing for like city council to tell people when to eat meat. On account of, like, that's also what Jesus does. I think that's kind of a weird thing to also do. Like, anything that Jesus does, you should probably not do as a city council.
Was it a thing? Like, don't eat? Or was that just the Catholic Church?
Catholic Church is headed by Jesus. But, yeah, like, those Catholic guys, they're not allowed to eat meat.
CEO.
Yeah. They're not allowed to eat certain meat sometimes. Jewish dudes aren't allowed to eat certain meats. The Muslims, for sure, can't eat certain things. So, I think you're kind of overstepping your bounds as a city council when you start, turning water into wine and curing lepers and stuff.
What if they had a fish fry, like every Friday? How about that? Like there's a citywide fish fry where everybody gets to eat catfish.
Well,
or whatever fish.
I think they should do that on Monday. Instead, that way they're not telling people when they can eat it. Because then they would just be doing double duty. They're saying, don't eat any meat on Monday, but eat extra meat on Friday. That's even worse.
You know, there's some specialists who are saying that meat might not be an option like in the future, since we're over-consuming as it is, running out of land for growth of bovine as it is, that a good source of protein might actually have to be bugs. Like you'd have to snack on cockroaches and stuff like that.
Well, here's what I would do.
Ants.
When the scientist comes over to my house and he's like, hey, I want to tell you about how you have to start eating crickets and ants and bugs from now on. I would go, come on in and let me hear more about this. Let me grab you some hot cocoa.
Right.
And then I would go into my kitchen and I would grab the sharpest knife in the drawer. And I would come out and I would slide it right between his ribs and bury him right next to Sven Jorgensen in my backyard.
I'm noticing a theme with how you deal with, like, outside conflict.
Yeah.
Just invite it into your den and make some cocoa, or pretend to make cocoa, and then just get the sharpest knife in the drawer.
Well, I do actually make the cocoa. That way I can drink the cocoa after the murder.
Yeah, post-murder cocoa.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, you know...
You don't smoke. Neither of us smoke, so it would just be... You have to do something, right?
Yeah. But, well, you know, I think this is... This all comes from us watching all those Munsters episodes a couple of weeks ago. This is how I wish the Munsters would have dealt with all those dudes coming over to the house. Like, every day there was a new guy like, hello, Mr. Munster, I'm from the City Division Parks Bureaucracy Department Incorporated. And rather than going, oh, a pun about bats, oh, what are we going to do? Herman should have just invited that guy in. And said he was going to make some cocoa for him, and then gone into the kitchen and grabbed the sharpest knife he could find, and then went back and slid it in between his ribs.
While doing that Herman Munster laugh of his?
Yeah.
Oh, that'd be creepy.
So that's how I think that show should have gone.
Did you see the reboot pilot they did?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Awesome?
Yes, I liked it quite a bit.
I agree. And did you notice that they murdered the person at the end?
Yeah.
Grandpa almost said those exact words.
Yeah, I know. It was great. They really took my advice on that episode that we did.
Yeah, it was good stuff. I think they listened to all of it and reshot the pilot right before airing it, which would have only taken about that week anyway.
So. Yeah. They said, hey, Parker says we need more murder and better puns. Let's get to work.
Daniel Craig insists there will never, all caps, be a gay James Bond, as his chemistry with Javier Bardem sparked speculation over 007 sexuality. Have you seen Skyfall?
I have not, but I saw the other two Daniel Craig ones. But I hear that these guys touch a hands a little bit. A little too long. They linger on the hands. Or so Bret Easton Ellis has told me via tweets.
It's interesting.
Have you seen it?
No, I haven't seen any of the new Bond movies. I keep hearing how great they are. It shows a picture of Daniel Craig sitting down, tied to a chair. Javier Bardem sitting directly across from him. Their knees appear to be, like, not interlocked or anything, but he's got his... Javier Bardem has got his free left hand on Daniel Craig's right knee, and Bardem's right hand is on Daniel Craig's chest, like, or his neck. Because he's, you know, tied and bound. This looks a lot like what Romans used to do, like according to old Roman text about if they were making an offer to someone or, you know, asking someone for forgiveness or whatever, they would do something like this. It'd be like the left hand on the knee and the right hand on the chest or shoulder. So if you wanted to, and I'm not shitting you at all, the person being asked for forgiveness or for a favor could take a knife, the sharpest knife in the drawer, and slide it right between the person's ribs if they were offended.
That's what it
was for. So I'm assuming that has something to do with it, like for cinematography-wise or setting up the shot. But I mean, it's James Bond, so he's like punching people all the time. I doubt there's that much like emphasis on position.
Yeah. I think it's weird the editorializing. I mean, this is from a British newspaper, and in Britain they use the word news in their newspaper, like they got quotes around it and stuff. But I think it's weird that they put "never" in all capital letters when Daniel Craig said there would never be a Bond. So good editorializing there, guys. But yeah, I don't know. How would you feel? You don't seem to be that big of a Bond fan.
I'm not. For as much of I enjoy like British entertainment, I don't know. The Bond stuff I could never get into.
Yeah, the only ones I've ever seen are the two new Daniel Craig ones. I haven't seen any of that other junk. But I do like, what was that movie, Dressed to Kill? That Richard Grieco movie where he was like James Bond from the 80s? I don't know, that was a good movie. Anyway, how would you feel, though, if James Bond was gay? Would it not matter to you then, since you're not a fan?
No, it wouldn't matter to me, but it'd be interesting to see, right? I mean, it's always like Bond and the Bond girls. What if he had some sort of male counterpart instead?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't think it would work with James Bond since he's been around since, like, the 60s, and, like, the Bond girls are, like, more iconic than the Bond movies, I think. But I think if it was, like, Jason Bourne or somebody like this, like, somebody who isn't so tied in with fucking chicks promiscuously, mm-hmm. I think it would be fine. A fine thing. I think people would embrace it. But I think that if you tried to make James Bond gay, people would not be happy. Would you agree to that, Frisbee?
See, well, looking at Daniel Craig's quote, he says he doesn't think that Bond would be gay. He says because he's not gay. It's like he isn't because he isn't sort of reasoning.
Well, when it comes to sexual orientation, that is generally he just isn't. You know, it's right. Like that kind of a thing.
But then he goes on to say, and I don't think Javier's character is either. I think he'd fuck anything. I don't know. What does that mean?
Pansexual.
There you go. Yeah.
How would you feel about a pansexual James Bond?
I think that'd be worth watching, I think.
Yeah.
I would just be James Bond, it. Like, I'm assuming just posting Tumblr all day.
Yeah. Instead of, like, solving mysteries and stuff, like, he would just be posting about social injustices on Tumblr, perceived social injustices.
Right.
And reblogging Doctor Who GIFs, where they've been edited to make it look like Doctor Who and some dude are in love.
Well, I mean, forget that. This is already a thing, obviously. This has to be a thing. I'm looking it up now, actually.
You're probably right. I don't know. I don't think that there's too much James Bond fandom on Tumblr, though.
There has to be. I mean, he's British for one. He's tough British, but still, there's got to be something in there. Right? Like, gifts of him and Q together.
Yeah.
Ah, yes. See, I did not have to go far. It was literally the first thing I clicked on. And it's a GIF drawing of that same thing I was describing, except Javier Bardem and Daniel Craig are anime characters, and they're looking longingly at each other.
Oh, well,
goodness. Like, Bond actually likes it. It's the third one down, honestly. I just sent you the link.
So you just searched for James Bond, and it's the third one down.
Yep, that was it.
That's all the work you have to do. Yeah.
James Bond Tumblr. It is the James Bond Tumblr.
Tumblr, you guys are weird for fetishizing homosexuality. You guys are just the weirdest.
It's hashtag slash, and also hashtag they see me. You know, if you're curious, it's just out there. There's a little bit of everything.
Yeah, a little bit of everything. If you feel like taking an entire gay culture and reducing them to objects for your little fantasies, you Tumblr people make me sick. Objectifying gay people just to I don't like it. I don't like it, Mr. Frisbee. I don't like how they do this. It seems seems like they're objectifying people, belittling them a little.
Yeah, to play out like a sexual fantasy. I mean, it's, I don't know. It's got an audience. That's,
So does Honey Boo Boo.
Touche. Are you going to see Skyfall?
Yeah, the wife likes these James Bond movies a lot, so I might end up seeing it, but I'm not for sure.
You sound so wistful when you say that.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I like the first one a lot, but the second one kind of sucked, so who knows? Also, there's a lot of stuff coming out soon. There's Hobbits and stuff, other stuff. Mostly Hobbits, I guess, right?
I think it's just Hobbits for, like, the next 2 years.
Yeah, I guess I should see those Hobbits.
Ooh, I don't know if I'm going to see it. That's been split up into three films, right?
Yeah, which is fucking...
Why?
I don't know. They took Lord of the Rings, which is like fucking 2,000 pages of book, and they split that into three movies. And then they take The Hobbit, which is basically just like a children's book, and they're splitting that into three. Like, if you were going to split anything up to be three times as long, it should have been Lord of the Rings. Not
yeah.
The Hobbit. The Hobbit's stupid. The Hobbit is just, oh, like, there's not even anything to The Hobbit. I don't even like The Hobbit, is what I'm trying to say. All the dwarves are, like, comedic. Gollum's barely in it.
Right. Even though there's a dragon in it. It's not even that great of a dragon story, I would assume.
Benedict Cumberbatch is that dragon, though.
Well, shit.
So that'd be
but you don't get to see him until the third installment.
Probably.
So I have to live like six more years before I can hear Benedict Cumberbatch as the dragon.
That's true. And when he shows up, you know, the Frodo or whatever, Bilbo, he's like, hey, dragon, how are you doing? You want to be friends? And then the dragon's all, I'm not a sociopath. You know, he gets all mad about it.
Oh, nice. Is this actually what's going on, or are you just pulling my chain?
No, I'm kidding.
It really is like a Sherlock reunion. That'd be hilarious if it was.
Well, the Sherlock reunion is going to take place when Sherlock season 3 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow, even though he should be dead. I don't like this at all.
Yeah, I guess they're going to get into the, the post-Conan Doyle fanfic.
Yeah, well, they already did, because The Hounds of Baskerville is the first story back from death. So they already, and then the only reason Doyle brought Sherlock Holmes back is because he knew he could make money from it, so it doesn't even make sense artistically for these guys to bring him back. I just don't care for it.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Yeah. Anyway.
Anyway. You got another story?
Yeah. Uganda speaker vows to pass a, quote, kill the gays, end quote, bill as a, quote, Christmas gift, end quote, to the nation. I totally missed that last part when I first went over this article. A Christmas gift. This is this guy's idea of a gift? What a shit gift giver.
Yeah. It's a lady, too, I believe. Not a guy.
Oh, is that a fact?
Yeah.
Rebecca Kadaga? Yeah.
No need to be sexist, D.F. Frisbee, and assume it's a guy.
Oh, yeah. That's my bad. And that's the point of this, too.
That's sexism.
Whenever a kill the gays bill is introduced, you want to make sure that you have the sex of the person in order.
You don't want to jump to conclusions and vilify the wrong person who wants to kill all the gays. Yeah, this is awful. Uganda seems like a terrible place.
Mm-hmm.
It's right next to Tanzania, according to this map.
And Sudan?
Mm-hmm.
Kenya. I don't know much about Uganda. Is it in a good spot? I mean...
Nah, man, it doesn't look... It's right between the Sudan, which seems like a terrible place, and Rwanda, which is a most terrible place. So, seems like it's in a bad neighborhood.
Yeah, I was thinking this is probably the least of their problems, you know? And sure enough, this relates to their arguments about HIV-positive people, thinking that it's only transmitted through... homosexuals, pedophiles, and repeat offenders.
That's silly that they would think that like AIDS would be transmitted through pedophiles, because like, what do they think these kids are just like these tiny toddlers are like doing a bunch of needle drugs that they have HIV and they're spreading it to these guys. This is the worst. I think this might have been the same country that we talked about on one of the first episodes, where they're going around rounding up the albino people and, like, drinking their blood to cure AIDS. This might be one of those countries.
Jesus. Yeah, I forgot about that.
What a terror.
That was a thing, wasn't it?
Yeah, I'm not sure if it was this country, but it was...
That was the same... That was a totally different country from the country that was consulting a fallen tree for advice, right?
Yeah, I think that was Cambodia.
Ugh.
Oh, my goodness. But yeah, this story says...
this is probably the worst, though.
Yeah. It says in the story, Uganda is one of the most homophobic places on Earth. Which, I don't know how you qualify that for a news story. But I'm not going to doubt it on account of their passing a bill as a Christmas present to kill all the gay people.
Yeah, my sentiments exactly. Like, how would I guess that would be the Christmas gift to the most gay-hating country in the world. Listen, yeah. Y'all, I just guess where I came from. Well, the legislative office. You're not going to believe what I got wrapped in this package. Don't open till Christmas.
Ho, ho, ho. one thing in this is, like, this bill, it separates homosexuality into two things. Aggravated homosexuality, which sounds like a sweet band name, and that's defined as gay acts committed by parents or authority figures or HIV-positive people or pedophiles. Mm-hmm. And that kind of sounds like it should probably be a crime, though. If you're going around raping little kids and you know you have HIV, that's I'm kind of on board with that. But then they've got the other category, which is offensive homosexuality, also a sweet band name, defined as same-sex sexual acts, which should not be a crime. Or being involved in a same-sex relationship. So you could even be in a same-sex relationship, not be having sex, and then that would be a crime. Like if we were living together in Uganda, Mr. Frisbee, not having sex, but just continuing our relationship as is, we would be put in jail for life. Can you believe it?
After this, yeah. In fact, we have a pretty telling picture of the two of us from years ago holding hands like sweet dudes do.
That's true.
And we look very charming and very much in love. And that could be misconstrued now. We could get an offensive homosexuality.
Yeah, they're going to do that. What's that called? Like that thing that they're always trying to do to Julian Assange is called extraditing.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're going to try to do that to us to get us in Uganda to persecute us. I always regret in that picture that I'm giving a thumbs up.
Because you feel like it's... You're, like, winking at the camera when you do that. Yeah. Even though we're not even looking at the camera. For some reason, we both looked in the same spot. I think where a TV was, but...
Yeah, it makes it look like I'm winking at the camera. And that picture would be so much funnier if it looked like a candid thing that we didn't know we were being photographed for. Maybe I can Photoshop it.
Yeah, here's what you do. You make a heart frame around it with, like, a pink border, you know?
Yeah.
That way, like, the heart symbol cuts out, like, both of our hands, because you're talking about the outer hands. The hand holding is taking place in the middle.
That's true.
So, yeah. There's an adorable way to fix that.
Well, I know what the episode art's going to be this week.
Wonderful.
Yeah. This is atrocious. Come on, Uganda. I bet that, like, this is, like, kind of overcompensation, because I bet, like, all the countries around Uganda always call them Ugada, you know, and, like, this is how they deal with that. It's like, we're not gay. We're going to kill all the gays. Don't call us Ugada.
Yeah, the extent of this bill and, you know, reading the two different types of offenses and the offense of homosexuality, it does sound like it's like a middle school playground that got way out of hand. Like, I'm not gay. Stop calling me gay. Gay. You're gay. And this is what it escalated to.
Yeah.
All right, so if you want to say that somebody's gay, you have to be serious now. You can't just go around calling people gay during lunch break.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's the result, I think. That's what happened. They got so harassed by other countries, by Sudan and Kenya. So, Uganda. How's it feel?
The story goes on to say, LGBT activist Melanie Nathan of San Francisco, who hails from South Africa, keeps a close watch on Africa and her blog. And her blog is called oblog da blog.
That's a really dumb name for a blog.
Yeah, dude. Like, you can't have a stupid fucking name for a blog like that if you're, like, trying to save gay people in Africa. Like, you've got to have, like, a serious fucking name. Otherwise, people are going to think you're a fucking corny goofball. Like, if somebody who was like, hey, man, we got to go save the gay people, like, they're being oppressed, you know, follow me. My credentials are from the oblog da blog da blog. I'd be like, no, I'm going to go help this guy from the United Coalition of Helping Gay People.
Even though the name sounds made up, it's a better name than the ooh, blobby, blobby, blob, whatever, baby talk.
Yeah. It would
the blob, blah, 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 blog.
Yeah, this would make sense if this blog was not from somebody from San Francisco, but if it was like an English blog, I would buy that. That would be an acceptable name because they talk like babies.
As you so often assert, It's all baby talk over there.
It is. Find us on the old blog, doblog. You can see it on the telly, or you can take the tube to the washroom. To the loo.
Go on.
The loo. How are you going to call a toilet a loo? Get fucking real.
How are you going to call a stomach a tummy? Talking about baby talk.
Man, what are you talking about, man? It's called a tummy. That's the word for it. It's not. Come on.
Call the stomach or your guts. Come on, man. What was, say my no. guts.
No, the food goes in the tummy. Get real. What are you, crazy? And besides, even our American baby words like tummy sound way more adult. It sounds like it's coming out of Grey's Anatomy compared to what fucking English people will call it. The loo. Go to the loo. What is that? That's nothing. You piece of crap. With your goddamn stupid wig. Powdered.
I think I'm going to bust out like salt penis or something again.
These salt penises. These goddamn saltics with their powdered wigs. Who powders a wig? What kind of person? Anyway, I guess that's the end of the lightning round. Congratulations, everybody. We did it.
I think I'm going to play more Queen when you said congratulations, everyone.
Yeah, good job on the lightning round, everybody. That was a good lightning round. Probably the best one we've ever had. Number one lightning round in the world. Wouldn't you say, Mr. Frisbee?
I'd say so. I think there's some good runner-ups, though, as part of one of our stories. Pabst Blue Ribbon is classy and expensive in China. Who would have guessed?
Where are you getting that news from?
That was from Time. Time Magazine.
Time Magazine's passing that along?
Yeah, it's the same guy who did the Sasquatch stuff. McAfee murder accusation. Hey, you know, did you hear about that? The guy, the creator of McAfee, being accused of murder?
Yeah, he was accused of murder.
Yeah, the trial is set for 30 days.
Was that a joke?
Yeah, because you get a 30-day trial with McAfee virus protection.
I wouldn't know about that because I just buy the protection. I don't need no viruses.
You like your online searching and downloads like you like your sex. Horribly unprotected.
That's true. So anyway, best lightning round ever, everybody. Mm-hmm. All right. What else is there? Do we have something? Everybody, cheer up. Before we end the show, I would like to say that next week, Cranksgiving will be upon us. This is the annual holiday wherein we give thanks to the movie Crank and Crank 2 High Voltage. You know, we celebrate it. We watch it. You know, we sometimes talk like Jason Statham if we feel that that's proper to do. You know, it's just a day where we give thanks. How will you be giving thanks to Cranks, to the movie Crank this year?
You know, the same old way it's celebrated across the country, just gathering with family, having a nice Crank's turkey, a turkranken, I guess. It's a turkey stuffed with movie Crank.
And, Crank DVDs, yes.
And then we just gather on the TV and, you know, watch back-to-back Crank and Crank 2.
Yeah, we're actually going to be watching the first Crank movie on Junk Food Dinner next week.
That's a beautiful thing.
It's going to be great. So I would like to take a moment, just a real quick, maybe 10-second moment of silence to honor Crank and Crank 2 right now, if I could.
Fuck you, Chelios!
Fuck you, Chelios!
Fucking fuck your balls, Chelios.
Chelios, fuck you.
Come, Chelios.
Fuck! Oh, Chelly! Fuck it on!
Which one's your favorite fuck you, Chelios, from either of the films?
I don't know. I kind of like the fuck your balls, Chelios.
That's great because it sounds like somebody they just met on the street. Like, hey, can you read this? Fuck your balls, Chelios.
Yeah. So that's exciting news. Go to poolpartyradio.com. Check out all our episodes there. Sometimes we post news about the show, but mostly we just post the episodes and links to our friends and links to our iTunes page. If you go to our iTunes page, you can leave reviews for us and comments. You can also subscribe to the show. All three of those things will be tremendously helpful. It will get more people to see the show and download the show, as evidenced by the fact that Jesse P.S. over at the Pod Awful program He's on the front page right now of iTunes because people helped him out. And maybe people want to help us out in the same way. Wouldn't that be great if two podcast bros were on the front page of the iTunes right now, laughing it all the way to Mark Maron's dumb face? You're not on the front page, Mark Maron. Go tell a comedian from the 90s all your emotions about that subject for an hour and a half while belittling them and being condescending. Mark Maron's great. Go listen to the Mark Maron podcast. So yeah, so subscribe and stuff on iTunes. That seriously helps us out. I know we just say it every week and everything, but it's the more times that happens, the more people see the show. You know, if we get on these front pages, we go up in the rankings. And then also, if people just stumble upon us on iTunes, they'll go, oh, wow, you know, fucking 800 people or 80 people or 40 people said that this show was good. So maybe I'll go ahead and download it. People are less likely to do that with a show that has, you know, 4 reviews, because it looks like it was just the hosts and their moms.
So, an additional way to spread the word and show us that you like us, literally, is by going to our Facebook page, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. If you haven't already, go there, subscribe to, just friend us. There's no subscription there. And like us, and spread the word that way.
Yeah, like us on there. You might also have to go and click on that little thing that everybody's talking about now that says, add this page to my interests. Otherwise, you won't be able to see much because Mark Zuckerberg lost about $10 billion. And he's looking to take it out on little people like us and fuck us over and try to make us pay money to post things that the people who already like us want to see, which is real shitty. I told everybody, let's just stay on MySpace, and nobody fucking listened. You'd be seeing everything. All those little notifications right there. It would say, new blog comments from Pool Party. Nobody listened.
You're right. I remember how annoying that was when you said it, but now look at us. We're going to be advertising MySpace soon, and that just is so disappointing.
Yeah, okay? Go to our MySpace page, myspace.com/PPR, I think. The letter P, and the letter R, I think, is it. Or maybe PPZ? I don't know. We're on MySpace from a million years ago. Probably a lot of links to the emo bands that we liked back in 2004.
There's a lot of Dayton bands, too, that have broken up and had reunion shows since. So yeah. Look for them.
Also, we're on Stitcher Radio for people who like that, which seems to be a lot of you. Also... like Awful Flicks. It's one word, F-L-I-X. It's a show that me and Jesse from Pod Awful do. We're doing a new episode tomorrow. It's where we do audio commentaries for movies that are on Netflix. Terrible movies. We make them good. We've done Maggie.
What movie are you watching next?
We're doing Starship Troopers tomorrow, which is real weird because it's an amazingly good movie, and Jesse seems to think it's bad, so I suppose we'll talk about that tomorrow. But it's about bugs killing people.
Or vice versa.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't like that movie either, so
that'd really
be interesting to see.
I think it's great. Well, we'll talk about it tomorrow, me and Jesse. We're on iTunes, or you can go to awfulflix.tk or awfulflix.tumblr.com. Also, go to junkfooddinner.com, because our 400th movie is about to be released, where we'll do an audio commentary for that. You can vote for the 400th movie at junkfooddinner.com. And then we'll do it. It's democracy at its best, you know? It's a junk food dinner listener's right to choose, Mr. Frisbee. That's what I always say.
Yeah, I'm getting deaf to that catchphrase now. It's white noise to me.
Well, it's not going to be white noise when you're wearing a huge button that says a Frisbee's right to choose.
A 70s style too large button on my jacket lapel.
Yeah.
And you got it.
It's got a picture of you with a yellow face and a smiley, big smiley emoticon on you. I think that's everything, right?
Well, don't forget our Twitters also.
Oh, yeah.
At Jason Frisbee and at Final Parker.
Yeah. And you can also follow me on Instagram if you want, at Ultimate Parker. And
how many pictures of your dog have you posted?
Man, it's all pictures of my dog. It's all pictures of my dog being cute. And also screen captures of really shitty dialogue from the Walking Dead comic. of which there is a lot, because that comic sucks. Also, you can be our friends on Facebook if you want, because that's fun. The only people I talk to on Facebook anymore are people who listen to either this or Junk Food Dinner, or Pod Awful, or Kissing Contest, or Acid Pop Cult. So do that if you want. That would be fun. But don't add Frisbee, because he doesn't like Facebook.
No, indeed. I'm hardly on it anymore.
I'm always tagging you in pictures that you'll never see. Anyway, so that's everything. So until next week, this is Parker for Jason and Muhammad saying fuck you, Chelio.
Titties, two asses, four titties. Ass, titties, titties, ass and titties. Ass, titties, two asses, four titties. Ass, titties, titties, ass and titties. Bisexual bitches, they do they friends. I love y'all hoes for letting us all join in with all your ass. Titties, two asses, four titties. Ass, titties, titties, ass and titties. Bisexual bitches, they do they friends. I love y'all hoes for letting us all join in with all your ass. Titties, two asses, four titties. Ass, titties, titties, ass and titties. Titties. Light skinned hoes wanna act stuck up, well fine. But you can't take this dick when I'm hitting it from behind. You got a big booty bitch, big booty bitch. Big booty bitch, big booty bitch. Light skinned hoes wanna act stuck up, well fine. But you can't take this dick when I'm hitting it from behind. You got a big booty bitch, big booty bitch. Big booty bitch, big booty bitch. Bitch, 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 bitch. Hot horny hoes, I fuck them quick. And leave them alone. From this day, them hoes say,
assault, bug me harder. Assault, bug me harder. Assault, bug me harder. Assault, bug me harder.
Hot, horny hoes, I fuck them quick. And leave them alone, cause they get whipped from this dick. Them hoes say,
assault, bug me harder. Assault, bug me harder. Assault, bug me harder. Assault, bug me harder. Harder, 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 harder.
Ghetto ass bitches, you better watch out. All that fighting in the club might get that weave pulled out. You got glued in tracks, glued in tracks, glued in tracks, glued in tracks. Ghetto ass bitches, you better watch out. All that fighting in the club might get that weave pulled out. You got glued in tracks, glued in tracks, glued in tracks. In tracks, 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 tracks.
That's the perfect episode.